Heavenly Father, we recognize our inability and limitations to come to share your word. And so, Father, I personally humble myself under your mighty hand. And I strip myself of every confidence in my knowledge and ability alone. I look to you for mercy. Mercy and fresh grace, Lord, to use my preparation and my knowledge and everything else that you put inside of me under the covering of my fathers to bring forth this word. And it will be a word that will bring encouragement, strong encouragement to your people in the name of Jesus. Let it come forth with power, with clarity, with simplicity, and in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, doing an internal, eternal work, making our wills more submitted to your will, more determined to follow through with the fullness of your will, our minds more illuminated with the revelation light that comes from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. So we'll be determined to be doers of all that we hear today, bringing forth fruit that will abide and remain in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, as I come to pray, I duck under the cover of my fathers, and wherever this word goes, empower it, back it with your strength, so that it will break yokes, it will open blind eyes and deaf ears, Lord, and it will enable us, Lord, and it will cause men to be set free, to be able to do the things that they learn and not be hearers only, in the name of Jesus. Also, I ask for mercy. Help me, Lord, at this time to be concise and to be precise, to be faithful, Lord, speaking not of myself but of you, Lord, and Lord, bringing honor and seeking the honor that comes from Jesus Christ alone, so that your word will be a faithful word coming forth with purity and in clarity. Help me to redeem the time. Help me not to speak unnecessary things, but Lord, to say only those things you would have me say, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth treasures in this word of things new and old, to the praise of your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to, before we just say, the word I have in my heart today really is a spin-off of what Pastor Mumi shared so powerfully on Sunday. And, you know, they shared prophetically with us, you know. And so God put a word in my heart that I've entitled, A Time to Build, Plant, and to Make. A Time to Build, Plant, and Make. God is taking us to a time where now we're going to be creative. And we are going to be the ones that are, like Mommy said, not be copies, but now original. So originality is going to be coming out from God's church. Amen. And you and I are going to be partakers in Jesus' name. So on Sunday, just to remind you, Pastor and Mommy shared so powerfully and, you know, in synchrony, prophetically, that the youth of this nation, and as many as are willing, amen, the youth being under 30, and as many as are willing, that we stand at the threshold of a new beginning. Amen. There's a new beginning coming to the house of God. Amen. And in this new beginning, the sons of Ham, that is black men from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, are going to arise and shine with divine creative light. You know, and that was, so as innovators, as lighthouses, as creators, as solution providers, whatever term you want to bring, they're going to come up. Amen. And Africa is going to stop being a consumer and now become a producer. Amen. By the mercy and the grace of God. And it was a really powerful message. My heart was stirred up. You know, and, you know, so it applies to both Africa and Nigeria, the way the word came forth using CMS Grammar School song. And if you look at Isaiah 5:26, which is my first scripture, you will see that this is for a purpose. It's to attract. Isaiah. And he will lift, let's read it together, and he will lift up an ensign to the nations from where? Far. Far. And will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. So there's going to be an attraction, because there are lighthouses, like Mommy shared. Lighthouses. So ships are going to come swiftly to Africa, swiftly to Nigeria, Because they will see something, they will bring with them investment, they will bring with them human capital, they will bring them financial capital, they will bring them entrepreneurship, all to Africa. Amen. And the purpose is to accelerate the development of Africa and in particular Nigeria. Amen. And what God is doing is that these people that God is raising up, these sons of Ham, they are a company of spiritually discerning young people. Let's look at Daniel chapter 1 verse 4. They've discerned the times because they have submitted themselves to spiritual authority. So they have understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. Daniel, thank you. These are the kind of children that God is calling forth. Children in home, there was no blemish. So physically, they were intact. Okay? What? Well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now, this speaks of the children of Israel when they were taken away into Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, okay, and all the Babylonish kings. So they were taken into Babylon, and they now called a particular select group. It wasn't everybody. They called a select group of people, the very best of the best, the creme de la creme of the young people of Israel. And what about it? They were going to pollute them with the learning and the way of the Chaldeans and the tongue of the Chaldeans. It's a way of life. It's a way of life. It's a way of living. It's a value system. And Daniel, of course, we know the story. Daniel decided that he would not. He purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself. And so, this is the kind of people that God is bringing. They are not just anybody. They are people who have understood the purpose that God has for them. They are people that have no blemish, no defect. They are people that have the ability. So, they are not rejects. They are not people that couldn't make it out there in the world. Then, now come and say, oh, they want to make it here. You know, understand what I mean? There are people who understand that their God has called them for a purpose, okay? And they are ready now to fulfill that. So they discern. They have discernment. And as arrows, they have willingly submitted themselves to divine authority the same way Jesus was subject to his mother. Mommy brought that out beautifully. Look at John chapter 2, just quickly. Okay? We're going to go back to it, but John chapter 2 verse 1. And the third day, what day are we in? Third day, okay. But on that day, it was third day, all right, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. That's the first thing the Bible says, strangely. Jesus' mother was there. So there was no void. Because she was there, like mommy said. You know, in Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then earth was without form and void. But this story has been rewritten in Jesus' time. In Jesus' time, this was a beginning. It was a beginning of what God was going to do, a beginning of miracles. Okay? And in that beginning, the mother of Jesus was there. The same way now, there is mature spiritual authority in the church. So there is no void. And that's important. Look at the next verse. And both Jesus was called and disciples to the marriage. Next verse. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Next verse. And Jesus said, the woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. Thank God for his mother that was there. Even he didn't know, because God didn't reveal it. And his mother said unto servants, whatsoever he said unto you, what? Do it. And we know the rest of the story. But what I want to bring out there is this, that she was there, so there was no void, and no, she was able to pick. Nobody told her, it was the Holy Spirit that told her that this was the time, and so she was able to instruct Jesus. The same way, look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 20 to 30. Deuteronomy 32. For they are a what? Nation, what? Void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. When there is no leadership, mature leadership, there is a void of counsel and understanding. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. So you need the counsel of God to be able to recognize that this is the time, and this is the purpose, and this is how we're going to go about to fulfill it. I'm just repeating what they said. Okay? So, we have a father and mother company in the church. It's not just here. Thank God for our parents here. Amen. You know, but it's in the church, you know, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. And because of them, you know, there is no void. So, these young people that God is raising up and all that are willing are guaranteed that there is a leadership that's going to lead them into their destiny. Amen. Okay. Now, if you continue from verse 5. Looking from Jesus' example, you know, the Bible says that this was the beginning of miracles. So, as it was in this beginning, so we can learn from that beginning. Okay? So, he says, he gave an instruction, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. It was a clear-cut instruction. Next verse. Thank you. And there were set there, how many water pots? Six water pots made of stone. What do you use to build the temple? Stones. Okay? Alright? After the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Next verse. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Next verse. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. They bear it in faith. Next verse. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine unto now. Let's paraphrase that. Thou hast kept the better wine up until now. So what is going to happen now? You can see from this story, looking at it prophetically now. Prophetically, this was a literal account. But you can see from this story that Jesus didn't even... It wasn't his disciples. He didn't anoint his disciples and tell them to do something. So, it was six water pots of stone. He's talking about a company of men. It's a company of men that what have two or three firkins apiece in them after the manner of the purifying of Jews. They are purified in their souls and in their bodies. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Okay? So, they are purified in their souls and their bodies. Those firkins there refer to the mercy of God, the grace of God, and the help of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, who can say to himself, I have made myself pure? So obviously, it's not something anybody can do by themselves. You need the mercy and the grace of God. That is what releases the power of God that backs everything else that we do. Amen. So the first thing he used to describe those containers was the fact that they had two or three firkins. In the Jewish language, firkins were just a way of measuring. It was a way of measuring. It was an index of measurement. But in this case, it has a prophetic significance about pointing to the mercy, and the Bible says the grace of God that has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying... Give that to me in 2 Timothy. I think it's in Titus. Titus chapter 2. I want to show you that it's not what you do. It's the grace of God behind what you and I do. Amen. Titus, I think it's chapter 2. Thereabouts. If you can find it. But okay, don't let me... I mean, if you find it, put it up. But I'll just go on. Okay? Talking about... Yes, okay. Yes, right. 2:11. 2:11. Give it to me in 11. Okay, give me both. For what? Let's read together. For the... What appeared first? The grace of God personified. In this case, it's Jesus as the grace of God. But now, he's working through the grace he has given you and I. Okay? Grace of God that bringeth salvation had what? Appeared to who? All men. Doing what? Teaching us that what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly where? In this present world. So he's talking about water pots that have the mercy and the grace and help of the Holy Spirit there. And it says, what you are full to the brim with water. It's talking about being full of the word. Bible says that let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and in all wisdom. It's talking about the kind of vessels God is looking for to use in this new beginning. As good as the kind of vessels God is looking for. Okay? So, these are things we have to do. We have to be submitted to those in authority and obedient. Okay? We have to, in our walk with God, be walking but with faith in the mercy and the grace of God. It's so important. Mercy is what enables us not to be preserved. Mercy is what enables us to be faithful. Mercy is what helps us to be triumphant. It takes mercy. It's not of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. But mercy doesn't act alone. When we come to the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16, we obtain mercy to find grace to help. Those are the three workings in the time of need. So you see that, you know, your relationship with God, this is a time when you must be walking with God, you know, by faith. Faith in his mercy, faith in, not faith in your prayers. Faith in his mercy and in his grace and help to make your prayers produce what they're supposed to produce. Amen. And then you cannot pray, your faith will still stand. Amen. So sometimes you operate two or three. Sometimes you operate faith in mercy. That's where you start actually, to be able to even begin to pray. And then you operate faith in grace, you know, and then, you know. But sometimes, if you don't know what circumstance, you find your faith, you can operate two out of the three. That's what he's talking about. It's a relationship based on faith in mercy, grace, and help. All right? So these are the qualities God looks for. And that relationship with the word of God is what purifies us. The Bible says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. That's what purifies us. It's by faith in the mercy and then the truth that you hear, you and I, and obey. It is that truth that purifies our souls, you know, through obedience, you know. And then, you know, we are now full of the word. And it is those ones that can now become dispensers of the new wine. That's what God is saying. So what are we saying? We're saying God is using young people and willing people. If you are willing, let me see your hand. That means everybody. Or else you can choose to be willing. Amen. All right. So God is using young people and willing people, as many as are willing, with purified souls, led by the Spirit, in whose heart God's word dwells richly. That's what God is using. That's what he's using. All right. So you can understand. If you look at Malachi 3, verse 2 to 4 again, you can see how we get there. Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. Let's read again. But who? I can't hear you. That's just a few people. Let's read together. But who will be able to stand up to that coming or that beginning? You will stand up to that beginning in Jesus' name. You are part of the people. God intends for you and I to stand up to that beginning. He has not brought the time so that we'll miss it. He's brought the time so that we can partake of it. Amen. All right, so as you are looking at the criteria, the areas where you feel that I need to sit up here, begin to do it. Do you understand what I mean? Because you are part of it. He needs you. He didn't come to exclude. He came to include. Amen. All right. So it's good morning. So, but he's telling you, because God is done, not because he wants to, he's inviting us and he's calling. He made a feast. And it's calling men. And some people are saying, I want to go and have a yoke of oxen. I'll marry me a new wife. He's saying this thing is very important. That's why he's saying here that rhetorically, who will be able to stand? The day of his coming. No, but it's not to keep you out. It's to let you know that you have to be ready to scale this hurdle so you can be a part of it. Amen. All right. Who can survive? Give it to me in the King James. Thank you. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who will stand when he appeared? For he's like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. That's the purification process there. So he can't use us. Remember what Papa Ralph taught us years ago. Order, purity, and what? Power. You don't know? So you can't walk in the power if there isn't purity there. All right? And you can't walk in purity if there isn't order. So order is that submission of your heart. That's order. Then when you do that, your heart is in alignment. is in sync. You are connected, no, fully. You're always connected to God, but you know, if you're not submitted to fathers, to a degree, you're not holding the head from which nourishment is ministered. So when you submit to a fathers, the full complement of nourishment begins to flow, at least from the from covering. Okay? All right. Next verse. And he shall sit, I can't hear, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi. Who are the sons of Levi? I am one of the sons of Levi. Amen. And purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. That's the essence of the purification. Next verse. Next verse. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. Amen. You and I are going to be pleasant to the Lord in Jesus' name. Our lives will be a pleasant offering, you know, that God will be pleased with in Jesus' name. Okay, right, all right. So we see there that that's how God is purifying them. It is through the apostolic word that has come from the fathers that this purification process has been taking place. You know, in Zechariah 10, chapter 10, verse 1, Pastor Andrew was declaring this yesterday prophetically by the Spirit. And he was saying that, ask of the Lord rain in time of latter rain. Okay, and Lord will make bright flashing clouds. From 1970s and 80s, God has been making bright flashing clouds. Really, from the 1950s, when he's been teaching, because teaching is to build up. When God is teaching, he's building up and raising up a tabernacle of David. And the way to do that is to teach. What we do is that, what does the grace of God do? Teaching. How does the grace of God? He teaches. Because when you teach people, then you raise them up. They know they are right from their left. And they know how to please God. They know how to pray. They know how to do the correct thing. That's how you raise men up. God is raising up a tabernacle, a group of men and women, a company, a family of people, amen, who understand the time and have been taught all these years. So it's not something that is beginning now. We've come to a point where it's about to switch to another phase. It doesn't mean that he stopped the old phase. The old phase is still there, but now we're going to a new dimension, and the pace is quicker in this new dimension. That's what he's trying to say. So God is still building us up. Okay? That's why he gave us bright flashing clouds. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 32, when we say, ask of the Lord rain in time of latter rain, the rain there is teaching. It's doctrine. Okay? Teaching. Deuteronomy 32, verse 2 tells us that. But the essence of it is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, where he says that he may present it to himself. Let's look at that, please. That he might present it to himself. Talking about it there, meaning the church. Okay, that he might present the church instead, a what? Glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without. What did the children of Israel have? Without blemish. So that which is physical is also spiritual blemish. No blemish. You know, because in the Old Testament, if you had blemish, you couldn't be a Levite. If you had physical deformity, you could not be a Levite. If you had damage to your testicles, you could not be a Levite. If you had something, you could not. There are many things. You are blind in one eye, you could not be a Levite. There are many that. So he's talking about the fact that people can see clearly, they're discerning, they're people that are complete spiritually, have their epignosis, they have a foundation, a strong foundation in the Word of God, and then they are on the way to perfection. How many people are on that road? Amen. Every single one of us. Amen. Right. So that's what he's talking. That's what he's told. That message is to you and I. Tell everybody, it's to you and I. Amen. All right. Now, these apostolic fathers, you know, if you look at Psalm 45 in verse 5, are characterized by a peculiar character. But give me verse 3. Verse 3. Because we are the arrows. Because we are the arrows in the hands of a mighty man. But I just want to show you how that comes about. Okay? This is talking about Jesus. But it's also talking about you and I. Anything that you see in the Bible that is talking, the pastor has told us that, talking to you, talking about Jesus, you can put yourself there. Amen. Because we have the same destiny. Amen. All right, because we are following him. Now, he says, gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. He's talking to Jesus. He's a man. He's the person he's talking to. You know, he says, O most mighty. There are mighty men. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Psalm 21, 27, verse 4. All right? So these mighty men are fathers. They are mighty. Spiritual might now. Okay? They've overcome the devil, you know, and they're teaching others and training others. Two things. They're teaching others, and then they're training others to overcome the devil the same way they have overcome. Okay? Next verse. And in thy majesty, ride prosperously. Amen? Because of what? Truth and... I can't hear you. And thy what? Right hand shall do what? Teach thee terrible things. Talking about people that are versed in intercession. They are spiritual warriors. Amen. And how do you know them? One, they are characterized by the absolute truth they live by. They don't give you some part of the truth. They give you the whole counsel of God. Truth is a defining quality. So they're sincere. And in their sincerity, they can pick the whole counsel of God from the Word of God. You know this Word of God, like Pastor Mommy said on Sunday, you can make it say whatever you want it to say. You can just twist it. But if these ones are sincere, holily and justly and unblameably, they give the whole counsel of God. Truth is the defining quality, both sincerity of heart and the quality of the word that they bring forth. Amen. All right. And then their Christ-like attitude of meekness is there, right? Because the Bible says that learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And then righteousness there, it talks about the abundant fruit of the Spirit that is in their lives. Okay. And then all that together with what? Deep intercession. It says the sword. So there's a sword of the Spirit, the word of God in the hand. But that's why when you put all that together, you can understand the school song where it says, you fight, we're fighting with the Spirit's sword. You know, he's using the word of God in such a way, it's not just to read it to feel a legal obligation. It is to actually, when you have read it, it goes from your head to your heart by revelation and to your feet by practice. That's how you fight. It's a spiritual war we are fighting. We're not fighting against anybody. There is spiritual ground to be taken. And if you are moving forward, you are moving forward. If you are not moving forward, you are standing on the same spot. As the Bible says that, no, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, does not stand. So there's some place where you can stand. If you are scorning the word, you are standing. Sinners stand, scorners sit. So you can see a relative level of inactivity based on your response to the word of God. So I want to ask you a question, brethren. Do we just hear the word of God and just read it and hear it? Or does it go through the journey from our head? Because you must understand it. You must be able to be competent enough to understand it. Okay? And then it must travel into your heart. And then it must travel into your experience, into your work, something you do. And then when you do it, then you can now wield it skillfully in your thoughts. So Bible says that we should answer back. Bible says God has written to us, I can't turn to all the scripture, but God has written to us things in, he has written to us excellent things. And it gives us a reason why. I think it's Proverbs 22. It says that we might answer back with the word of truth. That is fighting skillfully. But you grow in proficiency. Just like David had mighty men. He had an army of men. Then he had mighty men. The Bible says that out of all of the whole army, there were 30. Mighty 30. You remember them? And there were those that woke up on a snowy day and just killed the lion. Dodo, the son of Ahohite. Something like that. You know? And there was people that killed lions with bare hands. So no, they did things that the rest of the army couldn't do. Why?
proficiency, practice. Know what? This army, God wants everybody to be proficient. Like the house of David. The weakest will be as mighty as David. In proficiency. David was proficient. You better believe that. By faith in the mercy and the grace of God. Do you use stones to kill Goliath? It's faith in the mercy and the grace and help of God. It's faith. Backing the stone. So you use physical things. But at the same time, it's not the physical things alone. It's the power behind the physical thing. Do you understand now? So God is talking about the fact that, you know, we become an embodiment where we carry God's presence around in us. Amen. So that everything you now do is backed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying. Thank you. You are sharp. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, don't distract us. But as you know that what I quoted was true. Okay. Fine. So, they were mighty men. So we're talking about skill and proficiency. Brethren, this is the day for practice. Amen. I can't hear amen. Oh. It's the day for practice of doing the things that we know to do. Amen. All right. The day of hearing is gone. The day of practice has come. Amen. All right. And you can see, give me Psalm 45. There's. It says, so if you are a practicer, your right hand will teach you terrible things. You will accomplish things that even you did not imagine was possible by prayer. By prayer with your mouth, by spirit, and by prayer with your thoughts. All three levels. It's all prayer. It's all right hand. That's why it says terrible things. Terrible. Terrible in the sense that you wouldn't have believed it. You wouldn't have believed it if somebody told you. Okay, next verse. We need to save time. Quick, thank you. It says, thine arrows. Who are the arrows? Us. Thine arrows. It's talking about the physical arrow you shoot with the bow and arrow. But it's also talking about people. It's multiple levels of interpretation. It says, thy arrows are what? Sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. Who are the king's enemies? Number one enemy is the carnal mind. The carnal mind is the enemy of God. It is not subject to it. You know what the carnal mind will do? It will disconnect a person from receiving the fullness of it. It will take you out of order. That's what that enemy will do. So, but when you learn to be submitted to authority, you learn to pray, you know, you learn to pray intercession, you know, you learn to be put the word of God inside of you. You know, you deal with the carnal mind. You put it under. It will, Bible says, whereby the people fall under thee. That talks about people, but you cannot dominate people until you dominate yourself. So the first people, I'll use that word because that's what the Bible says. The first people that you submit or subjugate is yourself. When you are now subject, then you now become, have the ability to subjugate. Or put it this way, dominate. Not subjugate. Dominate. Dominate others because you don't violate their free will. By the power of God coming out of you, they will agree with what you say. Yes, they will agree with what you know. No, they will see sense in what you're saying. Amen. I've seen that happen so many times at the office when they will say something and the parent will say they don't agree. And Mrs. Johnson will say the same thing. It's power. His power, his power, his power. The person working the word out in your life gives you power. You don't feel current flowing through you. It's invisible. It's there, right there, working in the background. Amen. Next verse. Okay. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. That is righteousness or love. Okay, the authority, what gives us authority in the kingdom and the ability to reign is love, divine love that we practice. Next verse, I don't want to waste time. Okay, next verse, I think that's the last one. It says, thou lovest righteousness and what? Hatest wickedness, that is lawlessness. Therefore, God thy God hath anointed thee with the spirit without measure. That's the oil of gladness above your fellows. Is the spirit without measure is talking about there. But what am I saying? I'm saying that there is a company of fathers and their children, of mighty men and their arrows, that God is fixing now to cause to shine from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. That's the word that they gave us. Now, why? Why then is this very important? You know, it's good to point out that you know the reason why this company is going to be who they are is in verse 8 of Psalm 45, because of love. It's because of sincerity and divine love. You know, it's not anything, not because they're special or anything. It's because of sincerity and divine love. The same way Jesus was set apart because of his walk with God. But at the same time, Jesus needed Anna and Simeon to prepare the way for him. When he was a baby, the early years, there was nothing he could have done when he was 4, 5, 6, 7. They prayed it through. They prayed it through. They did all the declaration, all the prayer in the spirit, everything. They did it. So all those years were covered. Until the time when he could understand his left from his right and learn and then take up the responsibility by himself. The same thing fathers are doing for us, brethren. We're not supposed to be, you know, I mean, we're supposed to grow. That's what I'm saying. Do you understand what I mean? You can never outgrow your fathers. Certainly not. But you can come to a place where you begin to exercise a measure of authority because of the labor and the sacrifice and the investment they have done over years into you. Amen. That's the will of God. Now, why is this important? Why is this important? You know, we are arrows that God is preparing to fire. You know, you fire an arrow, isn't it? To fire into society. So we can bring light into society that will direct honest seeking men to our Christ. Amen? And then we'll show up lawless men who are forsaking him. The Bible says in Luke 2:34, I don't have time to turn there. The Bible says this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel. So really, as we shine with this light, that's one of the reasons we shine this light, is going to convict someone and say, wow, what have I been doing? Is this the same God that we are serving? And it will attract them to light. The same way Jesus attracted the centurion. So much that the centurion demonstrated great faith. More than people that were reading the scrolls. He had faith than people that were reading the scrolls. Because their faith was in the letter, his faith was in the person. Faith is in the person. It's not in the book. It's in the person that wrote the book. Amen. All right. So God wants to do that. And how is he going to do that? He's going to use three things. Everybody say, our character. That's one. He's going to use our creativity. And then increasing power. Three things. Look at Joel 2:24. Pastor Jay was declared this yesterday during the prayers for Nigeria. Joel 2:24. Right. Let's read it together. Give it 23. Yes. Let's read it together. How many children of Zion are here? I am. Okay. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's go. Be glad then. Tell your neighbor, say, God said, be glad. There's reason to be glad. All right. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice where? In the Lord your God, for he had given you the former rain moderately. That's the foundational rain, the doctrine of baptism, the doctrine of that's foundational teaching, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain where? In the first month. So he's talking about two types of messages now. There is the message of foundation faith that builds your faith in God for healing, faith in God for deliverance, faith in God for repentance and all that, baptism, you know, and then faith that takes you all the way to perfection. The two. And this is the result of that rain. So when you are praying for rain, rain has an effect on the ground. Amen. The first effect is that the first rain softens the ground so you can plant the seed of the word of God, and it takes root. The second rain ripens the fruit in the ground. So the precious fruit of the earth can come forth. Amen. Good. Next verse. Now this is the fruit. Thank you. And the floor shall be what? Full of wheat. Fruit. Love. Joy. Peace. Long suffering. That's fruit. That's wheat. And the fat shall overflow with what? Wine and oil. Wine there meaning revelation. creative light. Revelation knowledge of the word of God. One leads to the other. If you don't have revelation of the word of God, you cannot work, you cannot walk in the word. Amen. Do you understand what I mean? You cannot practice head knowledge. It must become heart knowledge by revelation through a submissive attitude. Okay, you have a right attitude. And then, of course, praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation so God can illuminate your understanding. And then, of course, you take the prophetic and apostolic messages that fathers have given and they become keys through which you can use now get revelation from the word of God direct. That word of God is the one you can do because you see it. Bible says, what seest thou? So you can do that. Now, it is that one that you do that now brings the creative light. See, the power of God is increasing. We're coming to a time when we're going to have it without measure. Amen. But I must tell you, brethren, the thing is increasing. The tempo is increasing. If you can see the signs, they're there. You can see the signs. The tempo of the power of God is increasing in your life. You know, you can see the impact. You can see increase. It's there. You know, I mean, for us to be able to see. Okay? All right. So, we see that. So, those are the three things that God is using. And it is through us that God is that anoint. The oil there is the anointing. Okay? And, of course, the resurrection power of Christ. That works in our lives, works in our situation, works in our circumstances. So, you know, you are in a circumstance and something happens. And people knew that you are in a disadvantaged position. And you demonstrated the attitude of Christ, you know, and then God came through, you know, on your behalf supernaturally. You know, maybe childbirth or a financial situation or whatever. The people around you will come and tell you, oh boy, that's the power of God. Right there. But you know, you didn't do a miracle. Do you understand what I mean? It's not as if you did a miracle and raised the dead. But you are naturally, thank you, sir. You are naturally supernatural. And that became a sign. A witness to other people. So is that so we must be signed. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to be a sign. In fact, I am a sign. Going to be his hope. I am his faith now. Say, I am a sign. Yes. So we have to be signs. Signs. The same way Elijah was a sign. In the days of old. Elijah, he was a sign. He was a sign. You either loved him or you hated him. Ahab hated him. 1 Kings 18. And it's the same way there was rain then. There was rain now. There's rain now. There was rain then. And see what happened. As 1 Kings 18. And it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. When? Third year. When did Jesus go to the third day? To the feast. Third day. So you can see the timing. It says, go show thyself unto Ahab. Ahab is the lawless. Ahab is the ungodly. That doesn't take the word of God seriously, casts it behind his mind and doesn't do what the Bible says. But he's still a child of God. That's Ahab. And I will send rain upon the earth. So God declares now that there's going to be a new move. And he says, go and tell him. Next verse. Ahab and Eleni. And Ahab went, and Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Hasn't there been a famine? A famine of the word of God, a famine of the power of God, a famine of divine light. But that all that is going to change by the grace of God. I say all that is going to change. It's not a sweet something, it's been declared into the air. You and I must believe it and follow Elijah's example. See what Elijah did. Next verse. No. You 41. God have mercy on you. Pray for him in Jesus' name. Lord have mercy. Alright. Okay. 41. 1 Kings 18:41. Yes. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up. Let's read together. Say, get thee up. Eat and drink. For there is a sound of the abundance of rain. Rain of teaching, rain of power, rain of glory, rain of wisdom. There's a sound. There's a sound. Amen. Next verse.
Ahab and Eleni. Nobody sent you an arena. Ahab went to eat and drink. We should eat and drink. It's like we should eat and drink. This is how you do anything. It's like you eat and drink. So he went and ate and drank. But what did Elijah do?
Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel.
You must go up to the top of the mountain. Because the rain we are prophesying, it is us that's going to birth it. It is us that's going to birth it as well. Amen.
Alright. And he cast himself down upon there and put his face where?
Between his knees.
What's that? Travail. Travail. See the proportion of people in the Bible in Israel that were doing travail. See the proportion there. One that we know of. Maybe there was Elizabeth. The Bible says there were 100. So, in the whole population, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Next verse. And said to his servant, go up now. Look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. It may appear as if there is nothing. But there is something. Because if you keep putting your head within, you will generate and bring out the rain. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said again, go again. How many times?
Seven times. Just a compound. You keep doing it consistently and consistently. And
Amen. All right. Next verse. And it came to pass at the seventh time.
Now we are getting to that seventh time, brethren. That's why the fathers have declared the word. We are getting that. No, we've been praying since. We are in 2017. Okay? We've got to the seventh time. And he said,
and he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. Huh. Alright? And he said, go up. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not.
Next verse.
And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens was what? Black with clouds and winds.
Alright. As another message for another day. I don't want to get distracted. Alright.
And there was a great rain.
And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Okay. Next verse.
And the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah. And he girded up his loins. What's that? Sincerity. Truth. You see how the word of God dovetails. Alright? Truth. And so truth will quicken your pace. As well, in sincerity and walking in truth and walking in the word of God will quicken your pace. That's what he's saying. And he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. It means that he outran Ahab. He went, thank you, Amos 13. The plowman overtakes the reaper. He was the one that made the rain happen. The rain, he said it, declared it, so it's prophetic. Then he made it happen. That's apostolic. It's prophetic and both apostolic. So it's prophetic, apostolic. He said it and he did it and made it happen. There was a time when he said, how much rain is there? There's no sign. All right, let's leave it. I'll continue. And then I said, what is I now see it. I can see it coming from the sea. It's a group of people. It's a group of people. They will control things. And God is an invitation again to be a part of it.
Amen. God is inviting you and I. Come and be a part of it. Amen. So that this is the purpose for which we are foreknown. All right? All right. Okay. So we see that. All right. Now, look at Amos 9:13. Pastor Dave quoted that. Beautiful.
Let's read together. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop what?
When the plowman has overtaken the reaper, how will you know? The mountains will drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. Hills meaning difficulties, and particularly the spiritual ones.
Because the physical ones really are not the problem. The real problem are the infirmities, the weights, the sins that do beset. Right now, they should be melting. They should be melting. Right now, revelation should be flowing. Amen. That's the will of God for us. Next verse. So these people that do this, this is what they will be. And I will bring again the captivity of my people, and they shall what? Build the waste cities. And what? So they're not just building, no. When they build, they will inhabit. Amen. So, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. Okay, talking about different industries. They shall also make gardens and eat of them. That's your portion in Jesus' name. You will build and inhabit in Jesus' name. You will plant and eat the fruit thereof. That is the will of God. Okay? He's talking about now. He's talking about that's where you got the message. A time to build, time to plant, and a time to make. Next verse. So it's a time of productivity. It's a time of creativity. It's a time of coming out from being content with consumer and going beyond the veil to become a producer. It's not a time for lazy people. It's a time for hardworking, serious-minded people to make the glory of Jesus manifest. Both in secular endeavor and then also spiritually. Amen. Because until you do the secular endeavor, you're not going to command their respect. Because they feel that, oh, it's a religious thing, it's a religious thing. But when you bring it into proper science, and then they will bow. That's the will of God. Amen. All right, next verse. And I will plant them on their land. It's talking about this land. Africa. You're not going to go and do it for the Oyinbo man in NASA. No, not brain drain. Not brain drain. Now, God's doing a new thing. It's not brain drain. It's not what you're going to do in America, in Massachusetts, in Connecticut. And then, yeah, you will go there to study, but you will come back. Because I will plant them upon their own land, and they shall no more be put up out of their land. It means they were put before. Thank you, sir. Which I have given them, said the Lord thy God. Next verse. Is that the last verse? Okay, right. Okay. So what is God saying? God is saying that all this is this season and this time is on this side of the world. This side of the world. God wants to balance the equation, amen, and show that He's faithful. How then do we do it? Number one. Take heed to how you treat the word of God. We must take heed to how we treat the word of God. Pastor has, I want to recommend this to you. Pastor has a beautiful weekly rema on parable of the sower, talking about how to treat the seed of the word of God. I think it's key. You need to study it. I'm going to say more than that. All right. But how do you treat the word of God? One, don't reject it. Rejecting is the wayside heart. Okay, the Bible says that light has come and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. When the word of God shows you up, just bow and smite your heart. That's the way out. And say, Lord, I understand. Please, I have mercy on me. I confess my sins. I repent. Don't argue. If it comes from the, and many of us will not argue if it comes from pastor or mommy or maybe even Pastor G. But if it comes from the person next to you, do you receive it? It's very important. You know, the word of God is the word of God. Forget about that, about the vehicle, the person that is talking to you. You look at your own self. That's what the Bible is saying. Look at your own self. Don't be so quick to defend. It keeps you small, spiritually. It keeps you limited. You can win the argument, but you remain in captivity to your carnal mind and your emotions and your flesh. So who's really winning? You didn't win anything. You lost. You need to submit yourself to the truth and let God raise you up to stand upon the mountain. Change your perspective. When you see from a higher ground, wow! So this is what this person was saying. Some things you will never see it until you accept it. Yes, you're 95% correct. What about the 5%? Take the 5. Take the 5. It will translate into 500 if you allow it to. That's my own experience. And I'm still, you can see I'm still learning.
So, I mean, if you don't, never reject the word of God. Don't talk about the vessel. Just take it and then don't do your own version of the instruction. Don't do your own version of the instruction. They told Lot, go up to the mountain because all the place, cities in the plain, we are going to destroy them. Ah, Oga, you have done so well. You have delivered me and my family. I am so grateful to you. But please, don't ask me to go up to the mountain, because if I go up to the mountain, something bad will happen to me. How many of the instructions that you are giving are you not doing because it's too hard? Or it's going to affect me, or it's going to do this to me. More is happening to you because you're not doing the instructions, you know. Lot did his own. He did his own thing. Eventually he caught up with him, didn't it? It caught up with him because he was doing his own version. He lowered the standard. Always accept the standard of the word of God. It's the beginning of true growth and progress. No buts. No ifs. Just accept it. And then take it back to God. And God will mix it with faith in your heart, help you, and then take you up. Amen. That's the will of God. Amen. Be ready to obey and practice it even unto death. Don't do it only when it's convenient. Of course, you're not going to die. But Satan wants to see that you're committed. He wants to see if you burnt your bridges. I was talking to somebody the other day. And the person was... I told the person to do something, you know. And the person was doing that thing, but was also leaving room for doing the exact thing she was saying she wanted to stop doing. You know, so I had to tell her, I said, you've opened the back door. So anytime it gets difficult for you to go forward, automatically you're going to go back, because you should have cut off this bridge and put yourself on the edge of a cliff. I believe you, me, you will not go back. If you cut, if you burn your bridges, and the only way you can go is forward, anything that's go straight forward. But if you leave room at the back, in case, it's unbelief. In case, when in case, you will go to the in case. Once it gets hard up front, you will go to the in case. So the will of God is for us to be ready to practice and obey the instructions. The Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Does God want to kill? No. But God wants to see commitment unto death. That's where we are chosen, in the furnace of affliction. Amen. You didn't say amen. Kai. That was hard. Okay. Well, it's the truth. Okay. And be disciplined in the use of your time. It's also very important to use your time, to be disciplined about how we use our time. Particularly for us in this house, we hear so many beautiful things, so many dandy things. So many. And the question is, is how you treat those things. How many? What proportion? Do you know there's some people, when we watch football, you know, because you can always do analogies. When you watch football, you like somebody as a striker to be on your team. If they give him 10 chances and he scores 9 or 10, I want that kind of person on my team. I don't like strikers. I won't mention anybody's name. I don't like strikers who you give them 10 chances, they score only 2. Now, if I, a human being, don't like those kind of strikers, how come God gives you 10 things or 10 nuggets in church and you grabbed only one? You are doing only one out of the 10. You said, hey, to all the 10, but you are doing only one out of the 10. My brother, it ought not to be so now. You're not a good striker. You cannot stand in front of our team and be trying to score us goals against the devil. You are not going to be useful. You have to take down notes. That's the first thing. You can't just hear. You have to take down notes. When you take down notes, you have to take them back and go and walk and process and pray over them and let God talk to you. Open the scripture and check it yourself with your own 2 eyes. Amen. Then God will increase the percentage, because you can't get everything at one time. It's not at one sitting. You will get some at one sitting, you know? Then you get another one, or you do extra. Then by the time, before you know it, so you spend time to do that. Then, many times God will reemphasize it in a different way. So by the time, if you do that habitually, after a while you find that you're doing everything to the best of your ability. Then God, that's diligence.
That is diligence. You know, just this, I'm hearing what you are saying, sir. I'm feeling you. Ah, yes, sir. This is the word of God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, really? So, where are your notes? What do you do with the notes? Is it just to pile up there? Take it from me, brother. If it piles up there, he's giving you ammunition for temptations that are coming 1 week, 2 weeks ahead. If you hide that word in your heart, when the temptation comes, you won't even know you went through temptation. And if you don't, you fall flat on your face. And say, Father, I confess my sins, which is not wrong. Just that you are wasting time. And we are trying to run, speed swiftly. We're trying to hasten the day, and you are slowing it down by not taking it as seriously as you. If you go for an exam, you read it only once. Multiple lecture and healthy exam is on what day? It's on the 20th. No problem. I have it. I was in the class. Is it going to pass? He didn't read at all. Is it going to pass? When he fails, they will hear in heaven. And then you say God is unfaithful. You know, so diligence is important. We do it naturally for physical things. If you're talking about financial balance and say that you check the stock or something, you check the stock. You check the trend. Past 2 days, past week, this stock. You know, should I move my money? Should I keep it here? You know, and you can do that for your stock. How come you can't do that for the word of God? It's an enemy that has done this. It's Satan. It's called laziness. Laziness is the relative term. It just means that you're not working as hard as you'd have worked if it was something that you put more value on. That's laziness. If you put more value on it, you treat it like that, you will do it. You will do it. If you have to stay up at night to do it, God expects you to do it. Don't tell any stories. Do it. The same way you cannot appear at work the next day when you have a presentation and you come and say, sir, you go to your professor's office and say, sir, I'm sorry, sir. I'm not ready, sir. In another life. You're not ready. The whole meeting that you know since last week. You're not serious. The same way you know that there's no story there. Yeah? If you want to pray, you come for all night, do one face, you go back and go and study. Isn't it? And what about this other one now? When you get home, you watch TV, you read the newspaper, you catch up on what's going on, so your internet media, you will check this one, check that one, check that one. Well, so you have time to do that one. It's the word. Priorities. We have to prioritize the word we hear in this church. Otherwise, it will slip. The Bible says we need to give the more earnest heed. So I think I just wanted to emphasize that because that's very important, to give more earnest heed. Okay? So be disciplined use of your time. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. And be temperate in all things. You know, if you want the masteries, you have to be temperate in all things. You know, temperate in eating, temperate in sleeping. Hello? I'm talking to myself too, incidentally. Alright, so temperate in sleeping, temperate in eating, everything have to be temperate. Number two, accept insincerity and learn diligence. Okay, I've spoken about that. No, if you look at Hebrews 13, as we begin to close now, 20 to 21, I want to just show this. Hebrews 13, they're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, okay? Alright, it says the God of all people. Okay, make you perfect. Let's read together. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. So God can make you through the blood do his will. When the blood cleanses us, it removes the impediment of sin, gives us access to the life of God that enables us to actually do the word. Amen. We don't have any excuse not to do it. Make the provision. Okay, working in you. So the blood works in us. Amen. So that we can work out what the blood is working in. Amen. Alright, so that which is well pleased inside through Jesus Christ, which is life, which is the word, to whom be glory forever and ever. So I just want to know, as these things we have been taught, the instructions do not really change. But it is the understanding of them and the awareness of how important they are that changes and improves with time. Amen. All right. Okay. Then, of course, now diligence. Hebrews 11:6. Bible talks that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, isn't it? That he is a God of mercy and grace and help. The three firkings. Go back. He's a God of mercy and he's not a God of prayer. He's not a God of miracle alone. He is first a God of mercy. The Bible says, the Lord, Exodus, the Lord God. What's the first thing? Merciful and gracious. That's the first thing. Before abundant in goodness and truth, is merciful and gracious. It's the first thing. It's the first thing. Because he knows that we are going to need that to get to where we are going. So brethren, you know, if you want to improve your prayer, you can improve it. You want to improve your attitude, what you can improve it. It's faith in his mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Help me. I want to do it. I make up my mind to do it. Then you're ready. That determination to do it, even though it costs you something, and then learning diligence will help us to do it. Amen. And then, like I said, of course, frequent communion prayer. We know that. The Bible says, ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, you know, keep yourselves in love of God. Okay? Building up yourselves in love of God. I mixed it up. Jude 20:21. Keep yourselves. Okay, but ye beloved, let's read together. But ye beloved, building up yourselves. So there's a building up that takes place on your most holy faith. Faith in what? You see? Faith in mercy, grace, and help. Let's read it again. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Then praying in the Holy Ghost. See the order. Next verse. Keep yourselves. Next verse. Keep yourselves in love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So even you have to keep looking for mercy. It's not just a one-time thing. It's an attitude or dependence. You know, not being far. Being close to God. Not going too far without God. You know, always connecting with God ever so frequently. I'm here. I haven't gone away. Anything you want to say, please. Any God, please help me. No, God, I'm not. I don't think I can do it. So please, just show me. You know, that kind of, that's what God loves. It's an attitude. Amen. All right. And of course, daily traveling prayer to build the Christ in you. And then number three is learning to work smart. Work smart. Work hard, but work smart. How, what is the difference between working hard and working smart? Well, plan your work. Let the Holy Spirit help you. Bring God into your work. Because we're not going to do it without our work. In this day, it is through your work that God wants to show you. He wants to make you a sign and shine through the work that you do. So you have to bring God into the work. You have to pray about the work. You have to put the work before him. Amen. You have to help him to let him help you plan and prioritize what you need to do. You know, obey him. When he says study, study. When he says sleep, sleep. You know, when no, relate to people that he asks you to. Don't be proud. God says, go and ask that person. Ask them. Exercise yourself. Obey the instructions as he leads you. He's working smart. Because you are now being led by him in your work. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Don't work because I know how to do it. Then I just do it the way I normally do it. That's not the will of God. God wants. So prove God in your work. Through working, have a history with God. How God leads. How God guides. How God shows you. Do you understand what I mean? You know? And let God be new every morning in your work. Let him be new. It's good to have experience, but don't let experience now become your leader. Let God be your leader. Let the Holy Spirit be the one that's guiding you in your work. And when you do that, you prove him. Because he now begins to show you how you can do things in different ways. There are different ways to skin a cat. Different ways. And God is the master of them all. He will show you this so-called work that you think you know. God will show you a thing or two about this work. And teach you a few tricks. You say, God, I never knew that. How come? When you now start telling your people, your colleagues, these things, they'll be looking at you and say, But you proved it. When David came on the scene, he did what he had proven. So you need to build a history. You're not ready for the big stage. When it's a big stage and it's national, there's no margin for error. You can't go and tell Ahab, there will be rain. And there's no rain. Mama, sorry. I want cloud over a block. Prince of Persia, block. No story. So you must prove it. Mistake you make it now in the training. Bring God into it, because we're going to come to a place where God is going to be leading us by the Spirit. And it's going to be a place where the only familiar thing will be the hand of the Holy Spirit. That's the only familiar thing. There won't be anything, any knowledge you need, He will bring it from anywhere. But the one He cannot bring is Himself. He cannot replace Himself. The knowledge cannot take His place. Let us pray. A time to build, a time to plant, and a time to make. Let's talk to God. Let's confess our sins and repent of them. Let's repent. Thank God for His mercy behind the word. Now, time to determine. To be submitted. Determine. To learn spiritual warfare. Determine. To develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Faith in His mercy, faith in His grace, faith in His help. Spend time in the Word. Study to show yourself approved. Approved. You may approve the things that are excellent. It takes light. The light you walk in is permanent. The one you know in your head will go away after a while. You'll forget. But the one you practice will remain in your heart, etched by the Holy Spirit. And it will illuminate your understanding. Let us repent. I also repent. I'm determined to forsake. But you alone,
I will bow to no other God but you. I lay down all of my idols
and thrones I have made,
and I give you your place.
One more time.
I will have no other God
but you alone.
I will bow to no other God but you.
I lay down all of my idols and thrones I have made,
lay them down,
and I give you your place, O Lord.
I give myself as an offering to you, holy, acceptable, and pleasing unto you. I give my mind, my emotions, I lay them at your feet to honor you, my Lord.
Lord, I give myself, as an offering to you,
holy,
acceptable.
Holy, acceptable. I'm pleasing
unto you.
My emotions.
I lay them
at your feet.
To honor you. My God.
My will, my mind.
My will, my mind.
My emotions.
I lay them at your feet.
Let's raise your right hand in faith and put your left hand upon your heart. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that came to us on Sunday and for the word that you've sent today to remind us that indeed we live in a new beginning. Heavenly Father, I ask you for mercy, for grace, for help to enable me to be a part of all you're doing in this new beginning. Help me to be submissive to spiritual fathers, to be fully obedient to apostolic and prophetic instruction. Help me to be full of the word of God. Help me to be obedient to instruction, so that by my life you will cause the new wine to come forth from my life, the fruit of the Spirit, the wine of revelation and creative wisdom, and the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit upon my life, upon my work, upon all I do. And in this season of the abundance of the rain of glory, of the rain of your word, of the rain of your presence, I will be soaked in the abundance of this rain, and I will run with speed, so as a plowman, to overtake the reapers and to take my place in the forefront as the first fruits partaker of the blessings of this new season. Help me, Father, that I will run with patience, diligence, in all sincerity, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Radekatombe, Jaka Konga de Bebe Rapakat, Rapakantoantanto Bebe, Rapaka Koai, Ronda Viao, Rapakato, Rosanka, Jekadubaya, Ronda Babaya, Rede de Besa, Bakan Kongai, Jadoa, Rabande, Rana, Rapakatoa, Rede de Bes, Rade de Bes, Rede de Bes, Jaka Baka, Beka la Babaya. Rapakao, Belelea, Relele, Rodevia, Jano, Relelebe, Santan, Panke Kanka, Rapanamana, Rapanamal, Balalamasa, Marinebeta, Rapapao, Jalao, Barao, Barao, Ralelebea, Barodan, Relelebe, Rodelebeo, Baro, Salamantoba, Melelebela. Baka sota, relelebe toamale, jekambo bakan kongaria, randebele lebaya, rabakatobo sekere beberiana. In Jesus' name, amen. We pray and say, Father, we confess our sins. Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood. In